It is both the duty and opportunity of our brother Jamie to give us words of exhortation this morning, and we'll invite him forward now.
Thank you, Brother Peter, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, both here and online. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. If everyone probably noticed that the first reading this morning was not in our daily planner, but I think that it is a very significant chapter in the Scriptures. And just quickly reading from the headlines of my Bible from both the Romans readings. Freed from the law, the law cannot save from sin, life in the Spirit, and conquerors through Christ. And in the Isaiah 43 reading, it simply says, I have called you by name. And those are very comforting and reassuring words that we all share together. Now, having said that, in the last three exhortations that I have been present for, I have missed a few in the past month or so, for me, there has been a theme, and I do apologize to any speaker that I may have missed. Please do not feel left out. But starting with our brother Jeff approximately a month ago, he shared with us a couple of accounts of elephants. And he was very excited about that, as was I, because we don't normally get to use the word elephant in our everyday language in this country. And I'm going to see how many times I can actually use it in the next 4 minutes. The account, to refresh your memory, was of the relocation of elephants to, in one situation, a different part of the country because of developments. And another was from one part of an animal reserve to another. And in both situations, they were not able to transport adult elephants. It was merely the small elephants, if they can be considered small. But as a result, these young elephants became unruly and somewhat destructive. And in one case, they began running into and ramming the sides of rhinoceroses. And although at first that was cute and amusing, even to the rhinoceroses, it very quickly became very aggressive and deadly. In the other case, they actually began to attack the human neighborhoods, destroying properties and such. Now, these young, unguided elephants, they got up to no good, and they acted in ways that their species were not known for. And in both cases, the answers were to bring in adult males to give them guidance and disciplines. And in both situations, this worked. They did need to put down the ringleader of the violent attacks, but in the end result, over a short period of time, with the guidance of the adult males, they began acting as the way that they should. Now, Jeff did speak on many other things, but this did stand out to me. And the next exhortation that really stood out to me that I was present for was Brother Ryland. And he spoke on the theme that I perceived of how do we overcome our trials and our tribulations, and how do we make sure that we approach them with God. And the answer that was given was with true self-discipline. Not with a sudden reaction of human emotions, but to pause and to look at the situations as a whole and to apply God's word to the situation and to pray for guidance and for strength and for patience, and when necessary, to ask for outside guidance and support. And obviously, last week, our brother Jeremy sharing with us his recent personal facing of mortality, and that his thoughts were not of himself, but of his children. Who will care for my children? And he posed that question to all of us. Will you care for my girls when I'm gone? Very powerful, very emotional. And I don't want to overstep, But I don't think the brother Jeremy was so much concerned with the basic feeding and clothing of his children as much as he was concerned about who will guide them through their lives and who would keep the truth first and foremost. And of course, he has full confidence, as we all do, that Sister Elizabeth and the entire family obviously is there for that support and for that guidance. But there is a phrase that it takes a village to raise a child. And hopefully you can see the theme that I was able to draw from those three different brethren speaking about the same things. All included guidance and discipline, all stemming from God's word. And we all hear and perceive things differently because we all here are different and at different stages in our lives. You might not have made the same connection in these three exhortations as I did. And my job is not to tell you that you should have, but merely to explain why I made those connections. And hopefully through that, there may be encouragement and hopefully some guidance and positive steps forward in our walk towards the kingdom. And the emphasis on our walk towards the kingdom, because our Father in heaven has seen fit to put all of us together in this ecclesia. Now, this is my fourth ecclesia, and some of you have actually shared all four ecclesias. Some have only shared this one, and obviously some two or three. And for me, that gives such a great and comforting feeling when someone who I went to meeting with 40 years ago is now part of a meeting that I belong to now. And to have the opportunity to watch many of you grow from babies into, you know, parents now yourselves and grown adults. And it is a pleasure. And so let's just look at a few references here. And I want to begin in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 and 26. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance and let us contend together and state your case that you may be acquitted. And if just a few pages back in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and commencing at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Just a couple more at this point. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. For as many are as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by him whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. And just over the page into verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now these verses show that God loves us and he is willing to blot out our sins if we love and follow him. But no man or woman can do it alone. We cannot forgive our own sins. We cannot blot them out. We cannot raise ourselves from the dead. It can only be through the grace of God and his loving kindness and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I grew up without my dad present in the home. Mom and dad separated when I was two. Dad came into the truth via mom. His family was and is atheist. Mom's family, Christadelphians. And now, when Dad would pick us up for visitation, oftentimes we would end up at our uncle's home, and our grandparents, if they were in town, would come by. And there was also always a lot of drinking, a lot of cursing, and always and inevitably a lot of arguing. This was very commonplace. And now, with my mom's parents, yes, over the years, there were stern words of discipline, but always based on the truth. Grandma and Grandpa picked us up every Sunday for Sunday school. Every week, they picked us kids up and made sure that we were at Sunday school. And so those are two different sides of my family. And as time went on, we began, some of us, to go long time periods without seeing my father and without seeing his family. But every Sunday we saw Grandma and Grandpa. And every Sunday we saw the members of the Vancouver Ecclesia. It was a constant. They made the effort. And we saw them throughout the week as well. When all of us began getting part-time jobs, always and inevitably, Grandma and Grandpa would show up to show their support and show how proud they were of us. And at the time, although it was embarrassing as a teenager to have your grandparents show up at your work, in retrospect, it was very cool and comforting knowing that the love and care that they showed upon us. And now, sadly, when my dad's parents passed away, not at the same time, but a few years apart, I had not seen either one of them for at least 15 years. They just were not a part of my life. I didn't know them. They did not think and feel the same way that I did. I just did not have that relationship with them. But when Mom's parents, Grandma and Grandpa, when they both passed at home. And daily, we would be there to see them towards the end. Because that was the relationship that we had with them. Because it was shared and based on the truth. And that is true today. As it was those years ago. I have 9 nieces and nephews. 4 of them I have contact with on a regular basis. 2, of course, I live in the same home. But even if I didn't, I would be seeing them here today, as well as Katie. And Laura, until the pandemic, was here every Sunday as well, and now she's online. The other 5 I see maybe twice a year at family gatherings. And to be quite honest, these, even though there's only 2 quote-unquote young people here today, I know the young people of this meeting more than I know some of my own flesh and blood nieces and nephews. And that's not a sad thing. It's a comforting thing, because what I'm missing and what I have missed over the years, and as many of you, God has given us these young people to be our nieces and nephews. He's given us aunts and uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, grandparents. I look back at Mac and Sylvia, and although they are both young enough to be my parents, I've always looked at them as grandparents. That's out of love and respect, not out of, you know, saying you're old. Sorry, I can't always be too serious. It gets a little weepy. But as I know, I'm not the only one who suffers from this. If I was going to go for financial advice, I would not go to someone who I knew was in debt or had a gambling problem. I would go to someone who I knew had been financially successful and wise over the years. If I was going to go to a dietitian, I would not go to one who happened to be larger than myself. I don't think that that would be a wise choice. Just as going for moral or spiritual advice does not make sense to go to someone who does not believe in God and his morals and his scripture. And that is not to say that we should turn away from anyone who is not in our family who is not in the truth. I love my dad very much and had a very great relationship with him, and no one could ever replace him. But over the years, I was fortunate enough to have many father-like figures that God placed in my life to make sure that I had proper guidance whenever necessary. Admittedly, I didn't always listen to it. But there's a distinct difference between people who believe as we do and people who don't. I remember as a child going over to school friends' houses to play, and half the time I didn't even see the parents. It would just be called out, okay, it's almost dinner time, it's time for your friend to go home. Whereas, as everyone knows, if you go to a friend's in a Christadelphian, A, you most likely already know the parents, and they want to know everything about you. And when you're young, sometimes you think it's out of gossip and being a busybody. But as we grow, we realize that, no, it's out of love and care and concern. And always having had that, not always seeing it, as I'm older, I can see that more and more. And I'm very thankful for that opportunity. Because we all need the guidance. And oftentimes, if it's unsolicited, we tend to look at it for something that it's not. Being bullied or being, who does that person think that they are to tell us how to live our lives? But if we approach these situations as any struggle in our life with patience, with prayer, and with looking to seeing, is this coming with scriptural backing? Is it coming with the love of a brother or sister or an aunt and uncle who believes in God the way that we do? And hopefully we will have less uneasiness when those things happen, because even we as adults need guidance to not do some of the things that we do. Now, if we can now look at a few scriptural examples to show relationships that were based on God's word and how they have overshadowed bloodline relationships. First, one that comes to my mind, obviously, is Jonathan and David. So that's in 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his own father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor, even to his sword and his bow with his bow. Now, unfortunately, the world has misunderstood this relationship, and there's many people who try to corrupt it. But this relationship was based on God's word and God's will. And as we know, Jonathan goes against his own father to uplift David, and he steps aside because he loved David as himself, but also because his faith in God was greater than his own pride. His faith in God was greater than his own pride, and he saw that David should be in the place of where he was headed, and he stepped aside. Timothy, chapter 1. Timothy, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, to Jesus, our Lord. And over a few pages to Titus. Titus in chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll just go down to verse 4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in the Lord Jesus our Savior. And one more in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas and preached Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. By taking my leave of them, I departed to Macedonia. And now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God a fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Paul referred to these young men as true sons in the faith and with real love and emotion. And if we can turn over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 26. And now when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved by, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her in to his own home. So these examples show us how God has given us a support system, a family, to help us, to guide us to his coming kingdom. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and now they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not as arrayed as one of these. So now if God so clothes the grass of the field each day, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not that much more clothe you, O ye of little faith." This obviously is not just speaking of food and clothing. It is speaking more of what he provides for us in all aspects of our lives. A guidance, a roadmap towards his kingdom. And all the way along, he has always given us the tools that we've needed, whether it be people around us in different ecclesias, the same people being joined together in another ecclesia. He's always given us this opportunity to have surrogates in our lives to give us the guidance, to give us the morals, to give us the love and the care. And the law, as we're reminded in our first reading, was given for a guideline. And it was given for the do's and the don'ts, to have consequences for our actions, to teach discipline and self-control and morals, and to teach that there are consequences. And this was passed down from generation to generation. And Christ, being the ultimate sacrifice, brought in the forgiveness and the covering of our sins. And the forgetting of our sins, not just the covering. Now, God has not set us up to fail. He has not given us a chance to fail. He has given us all of these tools. It is us, if we do not use them and grasp onto them, we are the ones that fail. We need to realize that we have people to rely on. We need to realize that we also have to be people who are relied on. And if we fail to do that, then our family will fall apart. And this does mean stepping out of our comfort zone. I've always had a hard time doing this. I've always been pulled back when it comes to myself. But I don't think that there is any senior here would say no to a young person who wanted to have a cup of tea in the afternoon and sit and talk. I don't see anyone would say no. I don't want to point out too many people, but we have a wonderful sister, Sister Peggy, who's lived a long, strong life on her own, and she's done that in the truth. Everything she's had, she's done for herself. Now, for any young woman to want to know what it's like to be a strong woman in the truth, she has many wonderful stories and is always willing to share them because she has a wonderful heart. And there's many, many more, so don't feel left out if I have not pointed towards you. But it has taken a good number of years for me to fully understand this. And again, to realize the importance of this ecclesia. And when Jeremy asked the question last week, will we care for his children when he is gone? Of course, the answer is yes. And I know that because I know that that happened to me when I was young. But it's not just the children. It is also our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our grandmas, our aunts and our uncles and our cousins that we all need to take care of, that we all need to check in on and to know what's going on in their lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who was begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And lastly, back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height or depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not trying to be emotional. It's actually just really warm up here. But brothers and sisters, God has given us the gift of each other. Let us enjoy that. And as we partake of his bread and wine, let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ.